start with a song today before we say something we're traveling to.
And I didn't like them putting in the vase.
Good boy.
Ah, oh, dear.
259 we'll start with today. We'll stand as we sing Jesus Saves. Be with Ling and Frank, Colin and Will, for Pat and Steve, and us as well, for Norman and Monica and myself. I pray, Lord, you'd watch over us and keep us, and just guide our thoughts and our words this evening. We love you and thank you. Pray for, Lord, for those that we know that need to be saved. I pray that you would. Those that need to be edified and maybe a fire lit underneath them, Lord, you know everything that we need, and I pray that you would supply. Please hinder the leaders of our nations when they set about evil, Lord, and bless them and when they do the right thing. Same for your children. Help us always, Lord, to be a good example and point souls to the foot of the cross. Please deliver us our needs. Please be with Steve and his sickness, Norman with his leg, Pat Hain, Lord, and she copes with all the difficulties that she's facing. Pray from a dentist appointment for Frank's hospital appointment. And Lord, you know all of our other private prayer requests. I pray, Lord, please, that you would grant these according to your will. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. Just love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. 279, that's what we're going to be singing next. 279 is that Jesus come into your heart. close those books, and if you want to join me at Psalm 27, Psalm 27, that will be where our Bible reading is this evening. Psalm 27, hope this will be a help to you. I had a good half an hour, 40 minutes up at the present link. We had two or three people beep at us in a good way and got a couple of thumbs up. Sometimes we get long, hard beeps. That normally means people's not very happy, but only brave enough whenever they're on the dual carriageway and they can get out of the way really quickly. But we didn't have any of that today. What a grand old time. Anyway, Psalm 27, the Word of God says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I see. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Amen. Amen. There's no need to go through our announcements again. Nothing changed in the last 6 or 7 hours. So just remember your wee green prayer list. Take it out and have a wee read and pray over it at least once in the week. That and anything else. If you do that once, that's for me. If you do it any other times, that's for the Lord. But please don't forget to pray about folks. We're a bit low this evening. A lot of people rang to tell me they were sick. Please do pray for them. And for other things that are happening and being done. Amen. There's still stuff going on. Right. Let's open our hymn books again. 260 this time. 260. We'll remain seated as we sing. He's able to deliver them. good old salvation songs. Mrs. Bradfield, could you play number 49? Meet me there. 49 in the big books. If you want a bit of cardio, you can stand with me. If you want to rest, you can sit. As long as you make a joyful noise. Number 49, meet me there. Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But sometimes we, and I'm sitting here, and one of the things that's foremost on my mind is that I have at least two or three fillings on everywhere in my mouth that I'm probably going to have to get done on Tuesday. It's going to hurt a bit. And I'm going to sound like someone broke my jaw and gave me a fat lip on both sides of my mouth. And I'm going to be sweating like a hog. My heart will be beating like a big bass drum, and I'm thinking of all of these verses. Well, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But yes, I can. The dentist is a very, very nice guy. His name's Paddy. He's on the prayer list. Paddy and Claire and Ollie and Emma are his wife and his two kids. And a very nice family. Please do pray for their salvation. Many years in the Catholic Church, and staunch Catholic, not Republican, but staunch Catholic. Just need to be saved. Anyway, we're going to be reading in Job. And you may or may not have read this in Job before, but there's 40 and 41 are very, very good verses. And we're going to think of the subject of through God, yes. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook through his nose, or bore his jaw with a thorn? Will he make supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him, remember the battle, and do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? That's our text, verse 10. Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close sea. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of a meager millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee, and sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble, he laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him, he spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot, he maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him, one would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all things, he is a king over all the children of pride. Amen. In this portion of God's word, we are reading the penultimate verse in the book of Job. I'm sure you all know the story of Job. How Job was faithful and loved the Lord and was blessed by the Lord. He literally had the Midas touch. Everything he put his hand to succeeded. But then the Lord allowed the devil to literally take away everything. Took away his money, his belongings, took away his children, took away his health even. The only thing he didn't take away was his wife. And left Job like that. And the devil said, I guarantee you, Lord, that if I do this to Job, he'll curse you and he will turn from you. And the Lord allowed the devil to touch Job's life. Job's life turned to dust around him, but he still remained faithful to God. I think what he said was, naked I came out of the womb, and naked I will return into the ground. As Job, I am sure, was thinking and maybe even asking God, why is this happening to me? I was your servant. I did right. I always, if you want to put it that way, paid my dues. And I didn't just do it because I had to. I did it because I loved you. I did it for my family. In fact, Job was so concerned about his children's behavior sometimes that he even offered up sacrifices for them, I think he said, lest they curse God in their hearts. Job was a good guy. There is the story of his comforters, his friends, who were Job's comforters, and basically said to him a number of times, well, you must have done something wrong and God's paying you back. It doesn't always work like that. And I think we can see in this world today that there are many people that seem to be blossoming. And they are as wicked as all get out. The Bible says in Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of the evildoer. Don't be envious of them. And God asks these rhetorical questions. He speaks about these two creatures. In the chapter before, he was talking about one called Behemoth, a huge creature that lived in the swamps and in the fens, that tail like a cedar tree and bones like iron, a huge creature. And he goes on to speak about Leviathan. And he speaks to Job about things that Job knows and uses them to answer Job's questions in his heart. He said, Job, remember Leviathan. In case you ever wonder, there's no creature like this exists in our modern history at all. But we have the bones of them. We have the bones of Behemoth. I think that's like a giant Diplodocus or Brontosaurus. We have the bones of creatures like Leviathan. They're not plesiosaurs, but they're the very short-necked, paddle-finned, almost like huge marine crocodiles that, there was maybe only one other creature would maybe prey on them, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. God says to Job, you know Leviathan, don't you? And he says, I certainly do. I know about the size of him. I know about the length of him. I know about the strength of him. I know that he is pretty much unstoppable and nobody goes out to cause bother with him. And God said, okay, so you know those things about Leviathan. Are you going to stick a hook in the water and pull him up out of the water? Are you able to do that, Job? Or are you able to, what do they call it? Is it tickling for catfish? Where you put your hands into and just feed for the fish, they'll swim along your hands, and if you tickle them, they'll sort of rest there, and then you grab them or scoop them out of the water. Or you go catfishing, you actually put your hand in, let the catfish clamp down in your hand, and then pull it out. I've seen that on YouTube. I don't fancy doing that in a hole in a riverbank when anything can be there. But God says, Can you let down a cord and catch him by his tongue? Are you able even to stick a hook through his jaw and pull him off? Or are you able to spear him? And the wee verse that God uses in verse number 10, there is nobody that is mad enough or strong enough to take him on. So, if you can't even take on one of my creation, why do you think you're going to be able to stand before me and demand an answer or or refuse me or reject me and not think something is going to happen to you. He goes on to explain a lot about this. This is a fearsome creature, a fire-breathing creature. And you might think that's a bit fantastical, but we've got fire-breathing beetles that exist today called the bombardier beetle. And this critter, whenever he swam in the water, the light would still come out of his mouth. Even out of his mouth, burning lamps and sparks. His scales are watertight, like a crocodile's scales. They don't overlap like a fish scales, they're tight together. In his neck remaineth strength. He's just a beast. His heart is as firm as a stone. And whenever he is on, I would say, dry land or throws himself maybe up out of the water, even the strongest of men are terrified. Not a weapon formed by man can stand against him. I am sure if he was still about in these days, they would have a whaling ship out after him, but this was back in the day. God said, there's no way in this world that you could ever do that. And Job said, you're absolutely right. There is no way. I don't know how I would do those things. And God basically said, there are things going on that you don't know about, Job. All that you have to do is keep your eyes on me by faith, and I will keep you in the palm of my hand. And I know there are times whenever we get frustrated because we live in an instant age. I don't know of anybody that spends decades on an art or a trade learning and growing and things like that. You spend a year or 2 years on it and then we're out to make a living out of it. We don't have the patience we used to have. Everything is instant. I remember reading about, was it the inventor of the washing machine or some other one of the conveniences, modern conveniences. And he said, with all of the helps that people have around the house today, they will be able to take that time and edify themselves and lift them up. Of course, what do people do? They spend all day watching TV or keeping up with their TikTok or whatever. It has just never happened. There's a lot of things out there in the world that are beyond us, and that's just the long and short of it. And sometimes things happen, like in the book of Matthew, the Lord was talking to the disciples whenever they asked, well, about a blind man. Did this man sin, or did his mother and father sin that he would be born blind? And Jesus said this was for the glory of God. He said, but sometimes things happen. The Tower of Siloam fell and killed, I think it was 14 people. And Jesus said, do you think that they were the worst of people in the world? And that is always in the back of our minds. And Jesus says, no. Sometimes things just happen. And it always pays to be right with God, because you and I don't know when those things will happen. God indeed does know, and that's why he says that now is the accepted time, and today is the day of salvation. And it's Jesus, and only the name of Jesus, whereby we must be saved. So, are we not better getting saved, making sure of our eternity, and living the rest of our lives, walking and talking with God, just like we were supposed to, than running fearfully from pillar to post and wondering what's going on? And that's what so many people do. They run from pillar to post. People are running from pillar to post trying to live forever. They do keep fit. This is a bit of a, maybe I have a bee in my bonnet about these things. They do keep fit. They try and exert their power through spending of money and get addicted to buying stuff. They eat. They go out and they do drugs and drink and party in an effort to forget what must be an awful feeling right in the very pit of their hearts. But they're not saved. and they're not going to heaven. And the conviction of sin must weigh very, very heavily on them for people to spend so much time and effort trying to blot out the conviction of the Holy Spirit or forget it. Best way to blot out the conviction of the Holy Spirit is to make your peace with God. To answer the call, to admit that you're wrong, and accept Him as your Savior, and let Him fix that conviction. Who was your man that supposedly brokered the peace process? Seamus? No, it wasn't. What do you call him?
Mm-hmm.
I see his face up on the... He died there a few years back. Countenance. Pardon? I was thinking Seamus Mann. I might be wrong. It's not Seamus Heaney. He's a poet or a writer, isn't he? But anyway, that'll come to me. And he did... Goodness, the amount of hoops that he had to jump through with Republican terrorists, with loyalist terrorists, with, I think, even American ambassadors, and all of those things. And there was a great announcement about a peace process and amnesties, and everything was hunky-dory right across the country, but it wasn't real. There's still trouble. There's still the same enmity. And all on a piece of paper and his face in a newspaper and maybe a picture or two, nothing has really changed. The peace that we really need is peace with God. The purpose that people need, and we've had these discussions many a time, Norman and myself, and especially whenever we were doing the work in the church, you need a reason to get out of bed in the morning. You need a reason to get up off of the couch and get doing something of a day. And there is no greater purpose than serving God, even though people have hobbies, and it's good to have a trade if you're going to be using it. They have hobbies and workshops and all of these things, but you need a purpose. And there's none greater than the one that God gave us. Go and tell people about me. Tell them how to get saved. We need fellowship with God. And yet that can be a fearsome thing for the unrepentant sinner. Because fellowship with God brings everything wrong in our lives into a stark relief. It stands out it just stands out like a knife. But people want that. But they only want it whenever they're down and whenever there's nothing can lift a blanket of grief or a shroud of grief or difficulty. They want God. They want fellowship with God. They want God. Tell me this, but then whenever they're done, they want to be far away from God because they have sin to be getting on with. They want God to do things for them, to answer prayers, to fight their corner. They want God to, to make sure everything works out for the best in the end. They want to talk to angels and have angels minister in them, and so they're praying to angels. They have posters up on the Fort George roundabout. I think it's St. Michael, pray for us. Angels don't pray for us. Angels are ministering spirits. They go where they're told and do what they're told. People want a way to overcome the things that come at them. And an awful lot of people are grinding themselves into the ground trying to do it. They look around them and they wonder, how am I supposed to be happy or joyful in a world that's literally coming down around my ears? No matter what I try, it never lifts that smog of, I don't know, well, sin, I suppose, is the only way to say that. I want to be able to know the future, and yet they will spend a fortune on prophecy magazine and prediction, and they will read their stars in the papers, instead of just lifting the Bible and reading and finding out what it really says. All the things that God will give for free, and will give to you if you come to him, people look elsewhere for. And every single one of them is a second-rate, I was going to say a second-rate substitute, it's a second-rate bill of goods. They're not working for people. Because if they were, society would be doing better. Our leaders would be pillars of society. Families would be together. Churches would be filled on a Sunday. Shops would be closed. And this would literally be the land of saints and scholars again. Instead, it's just the land of drinkers and fighters. God promises his children peace whenever they come to him, admit everything, talk about everything, whether it's something you need to be on your hands and knees about, or something maybe you just need to be talking about, or something you need to be pleading about. God says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto me, unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's what God says. But first of all, he says, the words that he said to his disciples whenever they were considering the sad estate of the rich young ruler that loved money more than anything else, Lord said, how hard is it for they that have riches to be saved? And then the disciples said, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with man it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. It's possible to have peace whenever the world is running around like a chicken with its head cut off. It's possible to have a purpose whenever the government and everybody else and even the world, the flesh and the devil, is everything so tightly tied down that people are fearful at every moment of every day and they don't know what to do. It's possible to have a purpose when you're adopted by Christ and you take on the family business of going and preaching the gospel to every creature. It's possible to have good fellowship. Most importantly, fellowship with God. Whenever he saves you, he gives you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will always be with you. It is through the Holy Spirit that we receive our comfort, our strength, our wisdom, our healing, our encouraging, our understanding, our perspective on the Word of God and the teachings of the Bible. But we need that. And that's why so many people are out doing their own thing and following their truth, because they don't have a good friend to point them in the right direction. They don't have a good friend that will always convict them of wrongdoing. They don't have a good friend, whether you're the president and you live in the White House or Downing Street, or whether you live under a bridge, they don't have that friend that keeps them right, no matter who you are. I'll tell you what else you don't have if you're not a Christian. You don't have Jesus fighting your corner. People have become so worldly they don't even really know that there is a spiritual side to man. And don't understand that what's going on deep down in our hearts has a very real effect on what goes on in our world. And we need God. Christians have God fighting their corner. On the QT sometimes, overtly and publicly sometimes as well. But the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for us when the accuser of the brethren comes saying, Mark did this, or Norman did that, or Monica did something else, and the Lord says, I paid for that already. That's paid for. I think, regardless of what people claim, people want to know that everything will work out for the best in the end. And people are forever saying, sure, it will work out for the best. I could take you to a place, maybe 3 or 4 hours from here, where things are not working out for the best for thousands and tens of thousands of young men in the fighting between Ukraine and Russia. They are all unwitting pawns in a game where old men are sitting drinking and laughing and having fun and counting their money, and they send out the young men to die for nothing. The only person for whom everything will work out for the best is a saved soul that does what God asks them to do. That is the only person. I have seen Christians, saved souls, people I have no doubt I will see in heaven, whose lives have turned into a train wreck because they abandoned the teachings of God. I have seen that. And I take no delight in it, but I have seen that. People always want to say and do the right thing, and you can whenever you're listening to what God says, when you're looking at things His way. In fact, God even promises, look, if you ever need the right words to say, don't you worry. As soon as you need them, you'll get them, and it'll not be you that speaks, it'll be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. You speak the words of God whenever you're called to, and things will work out for the best. Souls will be saved. And Christians, all the time, I don't know about you, but my troubles don't stop whenever I go to sleep or whenever I go to my bed. Who knows what stupid thoughts will be running through my head and what dreams will wake me up in the middle of the night. It always pays to listen to God and to trust that He is, that He loves you, and He is ministering to you. Directly through the Holy Spirit or sending angels to do that. Nobody else can say that. And people are running around fearful, putting security systems in, getting dogs, digging trenches, putting up fences, posting soldiers, thinking that that is going to save them from God just reaching down and putting His finger on them. It doesn't work like that. There is no fence, not even an outpost on Mars, is beyond the reach of God Almighty. People want to know the future, refuse to read the Bible. It is full of prophecy, even to what's going on right at this very moment in time. And God said in it, look, for my children, I am telling you these things are going to happen so that you can be ready, so that you can prepare yourself, so that you can fill your cupboard with food and cushion the fall. So that you can do whatever. Put firewood aside. Put a stove in. Buy some extra clothes. Buy some extra oil when it's cheap. So that you can be ready. So that you can make sure your wife, your husband, your children, your friends know that this is in the Bible. And that they too can be saved. To know that the obstacles that you come up against. What does it say in Isaiah 14:31? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. I think that's it. Through God. He really can't stop you. If you do things God's way, there's nothing that can really stop you. Philippians 4:13, we mentioned, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Whenever, if someone ever threw up a roadblock across on the Boyle Road Bridge and threw another one up on the, at the our end of the Carmoney Road, and they threw another one up at just at the Fincairn Road, that wouldn't stop one single bird from flying overhead, would it? And that's what God promises us. The things that men set up in this world to trip us up, to slow us down, whether devilish or whether just out of sheer and utter jealousy or mischief, when you do things God's way, those obstacles are going to stop you. And do you know what people would pay to have that assurance? To know that you're going to heaven for a start. To know that salvation is free and to be able to partake of that. To understand that life here is only for a little while. The real deed starts whenever you take your last breath here. Do you know what people would give to know that God is at their right hand and their left? To know that they have the Holy Spirit in their hearts and that it gives so much power and freedom. Fearlessness, says the man that's thinking about is in a bit of trepidation about the dentists. Fearlessness, to stand and preach the gospel in the face of so many that hate it. People would pay fortunes, and yet God gives it away for free. Gives it away for free because every single time we try to put one of our second rate substitutes in, we fail. I've seen people worship alcohol as a god, and not one of them has had a happy end. I've seen it destroy health and family, relationships and finances and friendships. People have worshipped pleasure as a god, and they're seeking to forget all of the conviction of sins. And I have seen it destroy their lives. I have seen illegitimate children. I have seen broken families. It doesn't work. People have worshipped so many different things. At the end of it all, when you waken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, there was no bank, no TV program, no exercise regime. There is no car. There is no lover. There is no friend that can soothe your soul like the presence of God Almighty can in your life. The world has lots of these offers. And it reminds me a little bit of a joke where a man died and he went up to heaven. And on the right hand was the angels, and the angels showed him the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, a huge cube, 1,200 miles in a square with the pearly gates and the streets of gold like transparent glass, and all the people in their robes, and the peace and the quiet and the sound of laughter and joy, and people darting here and there about the Lord's business, and angels, and everyone's in good form. And on the other side, we have the devil, or one of the devils, and they show this face with parties and drinking and carousing and drugs, and everybody is like one of the old ads for Harp or Guinness, and everyone's having a wonderful time. They said, I think I'm going to take that one there. And the angel says, are you sure about that? And he says, certainly, that looks lovely there, but this one looks like a lot more fun. And says, once you choose, you can't go back. So he says, no, I'm having this one. And so next thing you know, he opens his eyes and he's in hell, and he's hopping from one foot to another, being burned and tormented. And he says, what's this all about? You showed me a party, you showed me the drinking and the carrying on. And the devil said, that was the screensaver. This is the real deal. And that's exactly what goes on. It's the difference between advertising and actually getting the product in your hands. And sadly, many people only find out far too late that what the world, the flesh, and the devil offers is nothing. It's only a pale facsimile. It doesn't stand the test of time. When the rubber meets the road, it always fails. Just like the little parable that the Lord gave us about the man that built his house upon the sand and the man that built his house upon the rock. The sand was washed away by the storms, and the whole house fell down because there was no foundation. The man built his house on the rock, but it says the wind and the rain beat upon it, and it stood. And that's exactly what happens when people try to live their lives without Jesus. You cannot get a Christian life out of what you do. You will only ever get a great life, a godly life, and a good life. A life that will stand you for now and in eternity when you let God save you and do it His way. The Word of God says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death, I think it says. There is a broad road that leads to destruction, the Lord said, but a straight and narrow road that leads to life. It's God's road. That is God's way that will save the world. And through God, even though you face difficult times as a Christian, you can still get through when you wait on the Lord. Stop them there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And let's swap over to our hymn books. I have one song left, unless someone has a favorite they'd like for us to sing. Anybody got a favorite? You want on your mind, Norman?
No.
Mrs. Bradfield?
Not today.
Not today. That'll do. 245 then, in the big books, the old account was settled. 245, let's stand as we sing. Especially yours, Lord, and I pray that you would just take and work in our hearts and minds and bodies and those of our absent brethren and those of our brothers and sisters around the world. I pray for wisdom for those that need it, for a lifting and a forgiveness, a for the compromiser and the restorer of the backslider, for the saving of the lost, Lord, for lessons to be learned, and, Lord, just most importantly, for your will to be done. We just love you and praise you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.